Hope everybody's had a good morning, and I hope it's ready to continue the good feeling. Let's leave the world in our cars at home, and let's come into this sanctuary for a season of prayer, thanksgiving. May the revival start now. May it start today. Hopefully we've had revival going in our hearts. Appreciate the reminders by email and other notices. Let's make sure that God is in the midst of it, because we have work to do. In that light, let's sing number 16 in the Highway Hymns, Bringing in the Sheaves, an old song that has a biblical reference to it. Number 16. A few pages, 63, He'll leadeth me, 1st, 2nd, and 4th verse.
Thank you.
right, for our last preliminary number, let's turn over to page 96 and do the first and last verse of At the Cross. 96.
Mount Calvary, his nephew, I believe it is being baptized today. They were supposed to have it a couple of weeks ago, and some things got mishandled, I guess you will say. And at any rate, they're having it today, and they wanted to go over there and be with them for his nephew, and I'm thankful that they do. That's one of the privileges that we have as a church, is bringing people into the body of Christ. We have that privilege. A lot of people wants to say today that you're brought into the body when you're saved. No, you're in the family when you're saved. You're brought into the body when you're baptized into that body, and you'll find that in the Bible throughout the New Testament. If you'll look for it, and if you want some scripture for it, I'll give it to you later. I'm not going to get into another sermon at this time. But we are thankful that we have that a privilege as a church to bring individuals into the body of Christ. And that's something that a church needs from time to time, is individuals joining the body of Christ, submitting themselves unto the church for baptism and for church membership. And that's what we do here today. And we're just thankful for that opportunity to bring individuals into that body. We are glad to see each and every one here today. I'm glad to have our visitors with us today. We have several visitors with us again. Some of you have become regulars, and I'm thankful for you. You're coming right in with the members that are coming in and visiting with us too. I'm kidding there now. We are glad to see everybody today. And what I want you to think about today, we start our revival today. Brother James Keene will be here tonight. He'll be traveling here this afternoon, and he said he would be here. Now, he has got some things that may come up. He's got a deacon down at his church that is in hospice right now, and he says, I don't know when he'll pass and when the funeral will be. And he said, but we may have to believe for that service, for that day. I told him we'll take care of it, is what I told him. If nothing else, we'll ask Brother Sam to preach, if nothing else. We'll take care of it, is what I told him. And we want to follow the Lord. The second song that Brother Sam sang was, He Leadeth Me. Now, our Sunday school lesson this morning was about revival and what it was going to take for us to be revived. And that is a really good subject. Truthfully, I wished I was preaching on it today, but nevertheless, that was what Brother Stewart brought forth in our lesson today. And I wish you could have all been in here to have heard what he talked about. Because if you want to be revived and be in with the Lord and feel that joy and the happiness of being a child of God, and I'd say if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you are cold? I'm not asking for it. How many are cold and not really sure you're ready for revival yet? That's what this week's for. It's to bring you back into a revived mode of spiritual blessings. And you, if you'll set your heart on being that way, you can come into these services, and the next thing you'll know, you'll feel the joy of your salvation inside, and it'll just start to bubble up, and you'll just have a wonderful blessing. And that's what I'm hoping and praying, that everybody attends this church, this meeting that we're starting today. I hope that every single one feels that. I believe that if the church will be revived, we'll see sinners seek God. It's not necessary that we get revived that the sinners will seek God, but it really helps a lot. It'll show them that being saved is something to want. Now, I'm going to pause just a second. If you say you're saved and you have a very sad outlook on life, if you're saying you're saved and you're angry, if you're saying you're saved and you're mad at the world, and the world is just not doing you right, I want to ask you how many of these sinners are going to want to be like you. That's the part we need to consider. Let's get back to the way you was the day you got saved. I myself can say that was when I was probably the most on fire for the Lord, was when that I got saved and I started telling people about it. But it was a great, as the old song said, a grand and a glorious feeling inside of me. I've experienced it in times past since that, I'll say that. But if you want to have that grand and glorious feeling inside of you, try to get yourself where you can just be led by the Lord, and you'll be blessed. So keep that in mind today. We want to be prayerful for Brother James as he comes our way this week. We want to be prayerful for each and every one, especially the ones that are lost. I need to hush and go on. We want to be prayerful for each and every one. We're going to have another one today that you need to pray for. We've asked Brother Trey to do children's church today. We're going to give him an opportunity today, and he's going to be doing children's church today. So all the kids, which side are you going to? Right here? All the kids, come over here and give your attention to Brother Trey today.
Hello. There we go. What a good-looking crowd. All right. It's good to see you guys here this morning. How many of you drove yourselves here? None of you? Ben? Oh, you did? Okay. Ben, I knew you drove. You always drive. Okay. You drove too. Okay. So you were all here, brought here by someone who loves you, I'd be willing to bet. Right? The reason I know that they love you is because they brought you here. They brought you here to hear Brother Hackett speak about someone else that loves you very much. You all know Brother Hackett, that's our pastor. That's his title. And the man he's going to speak about that also loves you very much is Jesus. And Jesus has many titles. The Bible teaches us that He is our shepherd, that he is a great physician, that's a doctor, and it also says that he will stick closer than a brother. Now, the people that brought you here, your parents, or whoever brought you, they love you very much, and I'd be willing to bet they know everything about you that there is to know. I bet they know your favorite color, what foods you like to eat, if you're grumpy, how to calm you down. Now, Jesus knows you even better, if you can believe that. The Bible teaches that God knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows everything that will ever happen to you and everything you'll ever think or do. And through all of that, he loves you more than anyone. More than anyone in the world could possibly love you. I know that's hard to understand, but he does. When you're having a rough time, when you're sick or you're grumpy, you can go to him and he will help you. That's why we call him the great physician, the great doctor, because he heals the sickness that's in our hearts, in our souls. Okay? He'll stick with you closer than a brother. I have a brother. When I was growing up, I knew that no matter what, my brother would back me up. He would have my back. And when no one else would, Jesus will always have your back when no one else will. When it feels like you're all alone in the world, you can go to Jesus and he will comfort you and let you know that you're not alone. The Bible also calls him our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. What a shepherd is, if you don't know, is someone who looks after a flock of sheep, many, many sheep. And if one, even one, goes missing, that shepherd will go after him and he'll bring him back and he will protect his flock of sheep from the wolves and other predators that would harm them. Jesus will do the same for you if you will trust him to be your protection. Just like your parents will protect you from the world, Jesus will protect you. He will protect your soul, and all you have to do is believe in him. Now, I know you're very busy. Sam has checked your schedules, so I'll let you go. If you'll stand up and repeat after me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Beautiful. You can go back to your seats. Thank you.
First try, right? I shouldn't say try. He did a good job. Notice I said first. No, we're going. It is good for us to have others that are willing to step up and do things in church from time to time. And Brother Sam does a great job. And we are experiencing people that can do things. You may be able to do things in church that maybe others can't. So you follow the Lord. As the song says, he leadeth me, follow him. He will give you many blessings. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes, and I just want to be prayerful for our revival meeting. Let's pray that it'll be a great revival meeting. I do want us to be that. As Brother Stewart said earlier, he said he told them other night at another church that we were blessed last year to see six souls saved. And he said the idea is there's no way we could do any better. But we can if we will rely on the Lord and expect great things. And one of the questions he asked me to make a comment about something. I said, let me ask a question first. I said, how many of you have ever got a blessing going to church and not expecting to get a blessing? I have a few times. But if I go with the wrong attitude, you know what I end up? I sit there like a knot on a log, as the old saying goes, and I miss out on everything that's there. Even the good blessings. But the thing about it is, God will bless us. But if you want a blessing from God, look forward to each service, expecting something good to happen. So that's what I want you to pray for. I don't know how much you're going to get to come. Try to come back every service. But if you can't because of work or something like that, pray for us. Pray for us. You'll get a blessing out of that. And then you come back with the next service expecting something good to happen. I tell you what, you can see something good happen. I believe the Lord will bless you like that if you'll come back looking. So I'll hush. Any prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Have you got a lost one on your heart? Have you got one that you want to see saved more than anybody else? Oh, that doesn't keep you from wanting others saved, but do you have one that you want to see saved? Amen. Bless you. Somebody else. Lord, help. Bless him. Somebody else. Silas and Jonah. Hope they get to come. Somebody else. I looked around a while ago, and I think I counted 8 here today. Not as many as we have sometimes, but there's at least 8 here. And I think you know who you are. But if you're lost, you need to seek God today. Revival time starts today, starts now. I do want to mention Sister Barbara Higdon. She sent me a message, and well, she called me yesterday, and she got put in the hospital yesterday for her heart, and they're going to put a pacemaker in. The original plan was for Monday, but they have changed that now, and it'll be Thursday, and so she's going home today. But she asked that you pray for her. We need to remember Sister Nettie, Mr. Bob, along with all the others. I don't want to be too repetitive over our prayer requests, but we need to be praying for our sick, for our older ones that needs our prayers. So keep them in mind. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's keep him on our hearts. Somebody else. We had an altar prayer during our Sunday school, and I think it'd be a good thing if we all come together and collected our prayers together and send them up to the Lord on behalf of the meeting. So everybody that will, let's come into the altar and let's have a heart of prayer, please. Prayer for the meeting, prayer for Brother James, prayer for the lost. Let's just pray that God's blessings may come down. Everybody that would, let's come into the altar at this time.
Sing a verse of that song, 275, while Janice has got us in the mood to sing it. 275. Seated. Let's continue to sing. Let's turn over to number 64. I'd rather have Jesus. Let's do, unless the Lord directs otherwise, for our last number, let's do number 90. When the Savior reached down for me. Number 90.
Thank you.
anyone wishing to join this church here at Murfreesboro today. And we just pray that the Lord is leading you today. And what I would say is, do not hinder the Spirit of the Lord today. If you are here and the Lord is leading you to come and present yourself as a member of this church, the Lord has got a reason for it. He wants you to tell your testimony. That's one of our requirements, that you tell about being saved is what you tell about it. Some people says, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I asked a young lady not too long ago, and you've heard me tell this. She said, I don't know what to say. And I said, how did you feel before that you got saved? And she told me. Then I asked her, I said, how did you feel afterwards? And she told me the difference. And you know what I said? You just told your testimony. See, that's what we're asking of you, just to tell what you experienced when the Lord saved your soul. So you follow the Lord today. Now, we take members by experience in baptism, that meaning that if you've never been baptized into a church like this one, an old-fashioned missionary Baptist church that preaches and practices like we do, we ask you to come by experience in baptism. You're telling your experience, but you will experience the baptism, the death, the burial, and resurrection in the watery grave is what you'll do. So as you do that today, we won't baptize you today. We'll set it for another time is what we'll do. And we'll ask you to tell your testimony, and then we'll set the period of time for baptism later. If you are a member of a church of like faith and order, like this church, preaching and practicing the same things that we do, then you would come by letter or credit letter. And what the church will do, if you don't have your letter with you, we'll send for it, and the church will act appropriately at that time. We also take members by restoration. Restoration means that if people have come to this church and joined this body at one time, and for some reason or another, they got out into the world, they got off, and for some reason or another, they had to be excluded or disciplined from this church, we ask you to come back and make your acknowledgments of the things that you've done wrong, and you come forward and you tell this church what you've done wrong and apologize to it. The church hearing what you have to say, they will act appropriately on that. So that's our three ways that we take members. I'll be standing right down here in front. While we sing this song, will you come forward and you present yourself to this body at this time? While we sing, Brother Sam.
143, while we stand.
Yeah.
if you feel like you're led to speak for the Lord, please speak. Even if it's nothing more than just saying, I thank the Lord for saving my soul. It'll bless everybody else, and you don't ever know what that's going to do for somebody else. It might make somebody else want to tell how much they thank God for saving their soul. Maybe it's a particular song that needs to be sung. As good as our song leaders are in picking songs, sometimes God moves others to request a song. Follow the Lord is what I'm asking you to do. Each and every time you come in this building, not just for our meeting, but for each and every time. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? We're thankful for that each and every one is here today. Turn to the second chapter of Daniel today. Second chapter of Daniel. I'm going to give you a minute or so to get there. And basically what I'm going to do is say this is not what I had intended. I'm going to change that. What I had wanted to preach. I usually take a sermon one at a time. My mind's not big enough to be able to get a sermon together for a year down the road, or a month down the road, or even a week down the road. So I have to take them one at a time. Occasionally the Lord will do that. But as I was thinking about the revival, I said, Lord, it'd be a good time to preach this. Lord, it'd be a good time to preach that. You know, it goes through your mind as preachers. The Lord didn't give me that. So I have to do what He wants me to do today. And so you be prayerful. The story of Daniel is a familiar story. You probably was taught it as a child, and you probably think you know about everything about it. I'm guilty. I do. Sometimes I get the feeling about that. Sometimes one of the hardest sermons there are to preach are the ones that you heard as a child, and you think you've got it all in your head, and it's just not there that way. So be prayerful for me today. I do want to talk about this chapter for a little bit. In this chapter, it is the story where King Nebuchadnezzar has his dream. Now, it troubled him a lot, is basically what the scripture tells us here. And it troubled him so much that he wanted to know what it meant. Well, the problem was he forgot the dream. You ever done that? You ever had a dream and it kind of bothered you? You wanted to remember it, but you couldn't? Well, this one troubled Nebuchadnezzar so much that he wanted somebody to tell him the interpretation of the dream. So he went to his wise men. He went to his people that were, we'll say, soothsayers. And he asked them, tell me the interpretation of the dream. They said, well, tell us the dream. And he said, I can't. That logical right there. They said, we can't tell you if we don't know the dream. He said, how will I know you're telling me the right interpretation then? That was smart on his part. So when they said, we can't do it without your telling us the dream, he turned around and he said, well, if you're not going to tell me the dream and the interpretation, what good are you? And I'm paraphrasing here. What good are you? I'm going to put you all to death. Every wise man in this province is going to die because they cannot tell me the dream. Well, the man that was in charge of taking people's lives, they came to where Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was, and they got there and they said, this is what's going on. He said, what's the problem? Daniel did. Paraphrasing again. And Daniel said, ask the king for a little bit of time that I can talk to God and maybe he'll give me the answer. Well, they gave him a night, basically, is what they did. And as he was coming into this place, he went to the Lord that night in prayer, and the Lord gave him the interpretation thereof. And then he came back to the king. And where I'm taking my thought from today, and I'm only going to read you my thought,
is verse 28. When he said, when that nobody else could answer the question, the very first phrase, but there is a God in heaven. Now this is going to be the thought today. There is a God in heaven today. And what Daniel did is a good lesson for all of us. Because he knew in this moment, in this time, his life was on the line. Not only was his life on the line, but all of his brethren that were there in captivity. I believe he worried about the soothsayers and the Chaldeans and all of them. I think he did worry about them some, but he was worried about his brethren that were there. And he knew that all of them were fixing to die. So he went to the Lord. That is the best thing that any of us can do. If you've got something on your heart today, as far as a trouble or a trial in your life, it might be job, it might be a sinner friend in your workplace, it may be somebody in this church that you have got a problem with, you need to take it to God. Daniel did the right thing. He went to God about it. He asked for time that he could talk to God about it. But once he got the answer, he didn't just get up and run back to the king to give him the answer. He took time to do something else. And really and truly, this is something that I think I had missed. I know I'd read it, but it hadn't really got to me that good. But what he did, Daniel answered and said, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You're in verse 19. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my Father, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. What did he do? He took time to thank God. We are to remember there is a God in heaven. I'm satisfied that just by the testimonies of some of the ones that are here today, in other words, the ones that have not been saved by the grace of God, they right now do not really think that there is a God. Today's message is about our God. Know that there is a God. I realize the world is telling you, oh, that, yeah, that's just something that you worship. It's like a little idol that other people have in their houses, and they consider that to be a God. The Bible talked about how that they would come together and they'd take a piece of wood that was not supposed to rot and they would carve it into a certain shape and then they'd put gold around it or silver or bronze one and they would make that image something to be precious in their minds and in their eyes. But as the scripture said about them, they could do nothing. For they were not God. I'm talking today about the real God that is before you today. Our real God is here with us today. Did y'all notice he was here? He is. He's right here among us today. And he is sitting right next to you today. The Bible tells us, and I believe it's in the 50th chapter, I believe it is, of Isaiah. God is a God at hand. In other words, he's close by all the time. I want to try to tell you some of the, I think the word is attributes of God today. How that he is a God that is close by. He's got a presence that is always about you and around you each and every day, in every moment of your life. And I want you to understand something today. If you're lost and away from God today, God is still close by you today. His hands, according to that 50th chapter of Isaiah, are not shortened that he cannot reach down and save your soul. Brother Sam led the song, "When he reached down and took me up." I can't get the words right. But the idea is God reached down and lifted us up out of the miry clay of sin and brought us into his salvation. God is a God that is close by. He is always present with us. And sinner friends, I want you to realize today, God is near you also. He is near you, but is he in you today is my question. We that have been saved by the grace of God, we have something dwelling inside of us that you do not have. And it is called the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God is the presence of God on the inside. We're talking about a great big God that is beyond all of our expectations and our knowledge and our wisdom. Because when you look at our God, he is greater than even imagine. I want you to realize today, he is a God of power. If you think about our God, we talk about it a lot, and I realize the world wants to put it into their hands and into nature's hands, but actually God created everything. He was before everything. If you go back to Genesis in the first chapter, the very first phrase that is in the scripture says, "In the beginning, God." That's it. Just plain and simple. I also like the first chapter of John, how that John put Jesus there also. He was already there according to Genesis also. But in John, the first chapter, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's talking about Jesus himself. The same it was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, that gets a little bit beyond our comprehension sometimes, especially when we use this physical brain here to try to understand those things. But I don't know about you, but when I start listening to the scientists that are out there and they start talking about how this atom over here split, and then it split again, and somehow something that was dead became life, that's beyond my comprehension also. Actually, it's a lot past my comprehension, because I realize there is a God in heaven and he made everything. That's how powerful he is as our God today. He is so powerful that he has the ability just to speak this place into existence. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about this little blue marble, as they call it, that they call Earth. He spoke it into existence. And not only did he speak it into existence, but he spoke all of the stars and the sun. He put all of them in their place. He even knew The number of them is what he had, what it says about him. He even, as Brother Trey said, he is able to look even at the hairs of your head and know the number of them, whether it's 40 or maybe it's 1,000. He knows the number no matter what we think. You see, we're dealing with an infinite God. And you want to say infinite, that I most of the time you think of infinite, that is God in all his purpose, in all of his ways. But infinite most of the time talks about his might and his strength and his power that he has, even his very own authority that he has each and every day among us. And what God does in those things, he shows us the power that he has daily. Wait a minute. Did we see a miracle lately? Well, where's God's power in that? Most people will say, well, there's no miracles now. And some people try to have miracles in their church buildings is what they try to do. And they try to show those miracles in their ways and everything. But we're talking about miracles. And if you want to talk about a miracle that we see daily, take a breath. Take a breath. Oh, we say that's common. Well, yes, it is common until you start to die. You see, my father, I guess he had COPD is what he did, and he used a little breath things, and I told him one day we was working, and he puffed it about 4 times. I said, Daddy, you ain't supposed to use that 2 or 3 times, about twice a day at the most. And he said, I don't know what would be worse, to smother to death or to die with a heart attack. That was what was going to happen. You see, he valued his breath. You see, God gave you the very breath that you have. In his infinite power, he works inside of you to give you breath each and every day. When a baby is born into this world, that first breath is God's miracle that he has put forth into this world to show his power, his almightiness. It didn't come from mama. It didn't come from father, but from the God that is in heaven today. As we look at this God and what he is, now, some people would probably say, now, where is God? Well, I told you a while ago, he's all around. And that's usually the term that we use. I've had people say, well, where did God come from? And I used to quote this verse, and I believe it's in the book of Habakkuk where it says, and God came from Teman. And I got to looking it up, and I found out I was being kind of sarcastic by the words of it, but what Teman means, from the west. Well, the fact of the matter is, God was before there was a west. He was before there was an east, a south, and a north. And actually what he did, he made all of them for our purposes is what he did. But in God's ability to show his power, there was a time when the Spirit of God moved there in that book that he came from the west. You know, I've seen times when the church came up, when the church was meeting together, and you would see a Spirit of God start to erupt, not in the pulpit, but maybe back here in this corner or back here in that corner. And you'd see it just start to move, the Spirit of God moving right up through the congregation. Finally, get over here, maybe get into this side or that side one. And you just see how that the Spirit was moving inside of the church house. And what I'm telling you today, you are serving a great God that can do that for you today. Why? Because God promised you something. He promised you a... Let me go back to 1 Corinthians. I want to get you a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, is where I'm going if you want to get there quickly. In the 8th verse, he said, I who shall also confirm you, this is talking about the Lord Jesus, but you might as well say God. He said, he shall also confirm you unto the end. Now, in case you do not know what the word confirm actually means right here, it means to seal you, basically. He confirms that you are his. Oh, wait a minute here. We didn't talk about that. God promised me, did he? Now I'm telling you, saving. You see, sinner friends, what he's doing today is he's telling you who you've got to believe in. The world today, there was a time in people's minds, well, they aren't to listen. And if you was a big fan of this man, that's okay. There was a time when everybody, or I should say a lot of people, thought Billy Graham was the man. They ought to listen to him more than anybody else. Billy Graham was a man. I remember when I was younger, and up in my area, there was two old preachers up there. Everybody talked about Brother Cal Massey and Brother Cal Gregory. You could have sworn they was God to some people. But they were not God. I tell you what, I've seen preachers that I thought myself, within myself, oh, they're the best thing, and I'm going to use the old term, since sliced bread. Kids can have fun with that. Power of God is what saves you. It is God that wants to save your soul. When you listen to this, who shall confirm you? He is the one that seals it up and makes it where it's going to be the very best truth that there is. He said he will confirm you, not for just today, but unto the end is what he said. Unto the end. End of what? The end of time as we know it. You see in the book of Revelation it says there will be a time when time will be no more. You know in heaven they don't recognize time. God gave us that in the first chapter of Genesis in his creation. He gave us time that we would recognize what God had given us. But also he was causing us to count our days. What does it mean to count? It means to realize how much time you have. I would guarantee if we asked any of the kids that are up here about how long they had, they would probably, if they've even thought about it, they would have thought about it as, well, I've got plenty of time. I know when I was a sinner, I thought I had plenty of time. I know that other people that I've heard testify about that time that they thought they had, well, I've got plenty of time. Most of us older ones today have made our plans for tomorrow, the next week. We've all been talking about revival, but what does the Bible tell us? You have not the promise of tomorrow, right? There is coming an end. And you've got to be confirmed to that end by believing in God through Jesus Christ is what you've got to do. Listen to what he said. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that you might be saved. Now, this is the part I want you to get. God is faithful. He is. He is faithful, he says, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you're here today and the Lord is talking to your heart about you coming to seek God today, that's Him. You remember I said He was close by? You know what He's doing? He's being faithful to give you that opportunity today. He's knocking on that heart right now. Oh, you may not hear it like this, but you feel it. It's working inside of you. And so you say, something's not right. Something inside of me is saying that if something were to happen, I don't know where I'd go. Or maybe it's even to the point you know where you're going, and it's not to be with God. And because there is a God in heaven, He is faithful to give you this opportunity today. He wants to confirm you. He wants you to be in His family, as I said earlier. He wants you to believe in His Son. He wants you to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Maybe one of these days the Lord will give me a message on fellowship with Jesus. I tell you what, that's a whole other subject of what it means to be in fellowship with Him. It's not just being saved, but it's enjoying your salvation. Enjoying the goodness that God gives you. Enjoying the blessings of other individuals talking about God. Enjoying the reading of God's Word. It's talking about the blessings that God gives to us daily, and we see that. But especially when we come together as a congregation and we meet together and start to praise God, oh, that becomes a great fellowship. And I encourage you all to search for it, especially this week. Need to search for it more than just this week, but especially this week. Brother Sam, that's our message today. I want you to think about this today. There is a God in heaven. You can thank God like Daniel did. First of all, you thank God that there is a God in heaven, that He does give us all things. He gives us the leaders we need. He gives us the things that we deserve. He gives us the blessings that we give, that we earn. He blesses us each and every day with breath. He is a God that's all powerful. He made this earth for us. And God is still on His throne. If you're here today and you're lost, know that the altar is always open, that you can come and seek the Lord. That's what I want you to do more than anything today. If you feel like seeking God, the altars are open. Your seat is open to seek Him right now. I hope and pray that this message helps you to see God today and that He is faithful, that He's there next to you, and He has not been shortened in any way, that He cannot save you. When I say shortened, are you worse than anybody else? You think He can't save you? Guess what? He can. He'll say the vilest sinner there is that will come to Him believing in His Son's work. While we stand and sing, I want you today as sinners, I want you to think about your soul today. And I pray that the Lord will deal with you. Do not think, well, I'll wait till tonight. I'll wait till later on in the week. Wait, don't wait. Don't wait, for now is the time for you to be saved while we stand and sing.
209. 209.